Well, this week it is a shadow regime. That's what we've been talking about. Now, we know about the issue of globalism and all this stuff on a larger, broader scale. Shadow regime. Is it global right now? Is it behind the scenes, politically, government, economic, military? Well, yeah. But it's that presence that is behind the local issues. The local issues of, serial killers, ritual killing, the missing spiritual factor. Listen, this is Thursday night, November the 18th. We're ready for 1 hour, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Shatter the Darkness, live broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar. Well, we're going to talk about some of the really ugly stuff right here to my right. They just had on the air here locally a live special broadcast about the three that had gone missing, the 13-year-old girl that was found. This has gone on for about a week right now, and today, as everybody thought, they found the three bodies. A 30-year-old man is observing this family, watching them, and, you know, who knew? Who had the awareness? We don't know all the details. How did he get to their house? How did he get inside their house? Did he kill the other three there? It looks like he put them in trash bags and then drove them out into the woods and put them inside of a hollowed out tree. Took the 13-year-old girl for himself back to his house. When the officers finally got there, they found her bound and gagged in the basement. Was he just going to keep her? What was the motivation behind the 30-year-old Matt, the guy that did this? And now the horror of the 13-year-old, whether she saw the slaughter of her own mother and brother and family friend. Listen, you and I have got to talk about evil. We got to realize that it's there. If we cover our eyes and close our ears, see no evil, speak no evil, you know, hear no evil, well, it may eventually tap you on the shoulder. This is a world that has fallen. This is a world that is broken. This is a world where something's wrong inside the heart of man, but it goes beyond the radical evil inside the heart of man. This week, we found out that there's a jawbone of a white female that has come up off the beach onto the very beach where Natalie Holloway went missing. They're all presuming that it's hers. Could you imagine a tourist, you find a human jawbone, they fly it to the Netherlands to check it out? I mean, that's really, what's the legacy here? What's the thought of the mother, the father, the friends, as they contemplate, and will they get to see the jawbone? How about the 12-year-old today kidnapped by what looks like a professional Mexican kidnapper down there by the border. And I haven't heard today whether they have found her or not. Now, the kidnapping many times is simply for money, for ransom money, and or to bring some kind of punishment or get somebody to do something, usually in the drug trade. Now, she's been kidnapped. We've been seeing this left and right all around. We know this is true. The drug lords, well, they're even cutting off the heads of people and leaving them around or putting the heads, hanging them around. I mean, it's really quite amazing that they would even seek the saint of death, Santi Murti, to grant them favors in the drug trade. I wondered if drug border agents, whether U.S. military now going down, whether U.S. government, whether you and I understand the spiritual connection between the dark, demonic, and the drugs, and the goal of infecting and corrupting and blinding and opening doorways to the masses, that it has everything to do with prophetic biblical revelation. In the end of days, they're not going to turn away from their demon gods, and they're not going to turn away from their drugs, Pharmakion. What about little Zahara? You know, she has the prosthetic leg. She went missing. They now found her bones. She's dead. A 10-year-old. Why would they do that? Why would they kill her? Why would they do what they did to her? The case in Mount Vernon. Let me say hello to Dave if he's listening down there. field agent or contract agent for the FBI here locally about 10 years ago. Dave's down in that area now, and we did not get to go down there today. It wouldn't have mattered because the case involved the perpetrator finally telling the officers where the bodies were. Obviously, the bodies had to have been cut up and everything else put in trash bags and stuffed into a tree. That's the end of their lives. What's wrong? Now, when we say shadow regime, it comes all the way down to our localities. Because shadow regime, there's only one reason why. There's only one reality concerning it. A spiritual presence, a radical evil. And that radical evil is connected to the heart of fallen mankind. While I'm waiting for the live news report of the case down in Mount Vernon, I'm watching a video they're showing on the news of a man in Seattle on a bus picking on people, being obnoxious. Nobody stopped him. And he threatened a disabled man. So when the bus is letting everybody off, he goes up like a coward, like a total sissy coward. He goes up behind the man, the disabled man, and punches him in the face, knocks him to the ground, knocks him out. It looks like the man just laid there knocked out, and they said afterwards he's going to need surgery to repair his jaw, as the other man just simply walked away. There's something wrong with mankind. On the one hand, we think mankind is majestic and powerful and spiritual, and New Agers are telling us all we need is positive energies. All we need is an evolution to Homo Lumos, and humanity will become a nice, loving people. Is that real? Is that for real? Do you really believe that? Last week, in engaging some of the cases again, still burning my britches and bugging me is the two girls in 1994. Because we were engaged with the case within the 2 days that it occurred, with the one girl anyway. Actually, the perpetrator unleashing violence on myself and on officers in a room. The case has gone on now for, over... 16 years? Unsolved? So, in discussing it with some of our volunteers, I'm driving up one day last week to the Alliance, Ohio area on Route 62, prayer mapping and praying about the case and about four or five other cases that we're dealing with: underground, satanic ritual abuse, programming, all that kind of stuff. So, I'm on my way to Alliance, and there's the billboard and the two pictures of the girls, Sarah and Kathy. The feds have taken the case, and I ended up talking to a field agent. I only have hope that by God's hand, by God's direction, that something ultimately will be done. What is the reason? Well, the person that did it, in my estimation, has done it before. Other law enforcement agent that knows, I went down last week to talk with one of the old law enforcement agents that took me to a chief. And, well, they believe the same thing that I do about who did it, why, the motivations behind it. They were very clear that he would do it again. So here we are, in the United States, I am anyway, and many of you that listen download from all over. So I want to say hello to those downloading in Boden, Sweden, and Johannesburg, I just saw today, and many other places around the world. And so welcome to all of you that get to download later on. Again, being live, we can probably be caught, on the internet all over the world. And we want to welcome all of you listening live and all of you listening by satellite. Because I do believe it's a providential time. I do believe that we've been given a window of time and opportunity. I want to say thank you to those who have taken care of the radio factor all along, because you have opened a door where people have written me. I am 1,000 emails behind, but the stories that I'm getting to more and more and more, I was trying to go through 100 of them the other day, of thanksgiving, of testimony, of salvation, of growing, of gratitude, and on and on and on and on and on and on. And so I just want to say that for those who've helped in directly taking care of the radio, thank you. We have no products. We have no business backing. We have no things like that to put out. So we simply have on the shatterthedarkness.net website for the entire project, all that we do, if you're benefited, if you feel benefited, and you think that it's needed for a day like this, just look at the support tab, click on it, go from there. Thank you, and God bless you. I did get an email today that, it came from a friend of this radio program. Maybe you're listening right now, Neil. It had in the header, Cataclysm, A New Age Begins. And I'm going to just read some of what he said concerning the World of Warcraft. Says this is the title and sales phrase for the newest World of Warcraft expansion. By the way, Call of Duty, you know, the new one that's out, the gaming that is out. What was it, 360 million the first day? Now, I haven't been into the gaming world. I don't do gaming. I don't have time. But after I got this today, and I've looked at some over the years, but after I got this today from Neil, the World of Warcraft, now I've seen the commercials. But here Neil goes on to say this, quote, "The story is that a great old dragon chained in the abyss rises into the world and wreaks havoc, massive havoc." Based on the catchphrase, which is Cataclysm, A New Age Begins, it is apparently ushering in a new age. The trailer also states that an ancient evil has risen. To come to this world, basically, to shake the foundations. Now, it goes on to say this, quote, "The world has been broken. A new age has begun." And so, I think with some really good spiritual analysis, Neil has said these words, "Seeing as you have been reviewing movies based on new age Black Awakening symbolism, I thought you would find it interesting." So, I want to say, yeah, I do. And I want to say thank you to Neil. And I have purposely gone to the website of the World of Warcraft. They have a 10-day trial. So I've downloaded it, and I'm just simply analyzing and going through. I'm not a gamer. I wouldn't be very good at it. But I am looking at the themes. Isn't it interesting? Wonder if WebBot, the technology, you know, the spiders, have caught this concept. I'm sure this is part of the calculation of that technology's predictions of Cataclysm. New Agers, this is the same concept. So this is now being poured into the consciousness of humanity in the New Age sense, in the Luciferic sense, in the books and the writings and the channelers, in the old temples and ritual sites where Nephilim architecture and activities went on. And here it is in gaming. In gaming, where millions of young people will play the game, and with the visual, the content or concept will be embedded in them. Cataclysm, A New Age Begins. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Let me say again, welcome to all. This is Russ Dizdar. Shatter the Darkness broadcast, our live one here on a Thursday night. Don't forget, if you miss some of the live ones, you can go to the archives, get all of them here later on. We have the weekend broadcast. Very special broadcast this weekend that's going to be put up in the Podomatic, the preemption Podomatic. That is, and we're noticing on a monthly level, just over there, that folks that get it through iTunes, it's about 24,000 of you on a monthly basis all around the world. And thank you for the comments some have put in lately. And I did a special this over the weekend on Skyline, the movie. And I want to mention something because somebody wrote to me. And it really concerned me because I want to make it clear. I said in the movie, because I do a lot of analysis, and that's part of what I got to do, like Daniel, learning all the literature and stuff of the Babylonians. I mean, really understanding without participation. We've had to do this for years and years and years. It's the way we bring things out, and so we're looking at movies lately, analyzing the presuppositions. So I go to see Skyline. Just real quick, go off to see it, and It is because I wanted to see the transhumanism, transalienism, the spiritual connection, the end of the world issue, the, you know, the concept of its connection to the concept of abyss, where these entities come down upon the earth. So, but I do mention in there, you don't have to go, when I mention a movie like that, or even World of Warcraft that has been mentioned to me, you don't have to go there. I'm not telling you to go there and look. But in our observation, in our reporting, in our exposing, we do have to look on the fringes and bring back information. So we did a 1 hour 2 weeks ago on the movie Hereafter, which again, millions are going to see and see that at the end, there is no answer. And that's usually the concept in the real world of New Ageism, psychics and stuff in the hereafter. And then the skyline issue, again, I think it plays to the concept of the abyss. And since it's biblical, prophetic revelation and will actually occur, well, why? I mean, haven't you sat back? I mean, it's one thing to look at it and say, oh, that's going to happen. But then ask a question. You know, God gave this as selective prophetic revelation. It's pretty amazing. It is there to give us a heads up. It is there as a warning. It is there as, I mean, it's pretty doggone amazing. Since it involves infallible, irrevocable, and accurate view of future human history. The abysses. So we've gone over all of that. I did a large 7-hour project on that, and we are working on three books coming, Seeing into the Future, as soon as we can, and then the book R1919 coming, and then The Abyss. Those are the projects in the midst of everything else. Got to ask you tonight, as you're thinking through some of this, as we talk about, you know, the shadow regime issue worldwide. So the question tonight, when we deal, I'm asking tonight, especially if there's law enforcement and military and maybe psychologists and others listening. And if you've become a spiritual analyst, I've done a special message on that about 2 weeks ago, and believers in Christ, it's just simply, you're supposed to be discerning. You're supposed to be the light of the world. You're supposed to expose evil deeds of darkness. You are supposed to be at the cutting edge of knowing. You know, when Christians are running around, you know, what's going on? I'm all confused. It tells me there's a massive lack of engagement of biblical revelation. What do you know? That's why I'm doing a special one this weekend on the, if you know the four things, the Luciferic presence, the Luciferic methodology, the Luciferic doctrine and promise, and then the Luciferic agenda. If you know from a biblical worldview those four factors, then anything you read, any gaming you look at, any movies you hear about, even music, stuff on TV, let alone in politics, in military, on a global scale, you will know where it's happening. You will be able to spot what is being done in seminars, what is being done in convergences, what is being done in the UN, what is being done on a global scale, what politicians are really into. You'll really know. You'll be able to spot it clearly when you know those four factors. Now, I'll do that probably over the weekend, so just look for it. It's just, I don't even know if I have a title on it yet, but it deals with that concept that God has given us. Why are Christians ignoring mass revelation in Scripture that gives us such a preemptive and cutting-edge understanding in spiritual warfare? For ourselves, for our families, for our churches, many of you understand the churches are in trouble, and I'm going to tell you why. Spiritual warfare, not flesh and blood, but what's behind it. There are rulers and principalities and powers. Have we not got this through our heads? Wicked forces in the heavenly realms. How are you going to stand? Do you have the armor of God on? I stood at a church just a month ago and asked, how many here know the armor of God and have it on? 90% could not raise their hand. 90% do not know their authority in Christ. So again, where's our discipleship? Where's our development? Where's our spiritual, well, beauty, integrity, and power? Where's it at? Now, let me ask you a question. Well, I kind of got this on my notes here. Why am I doing this series this week, and particularly tonight, in the last couple of nights, touching on the crime violence issues? I'm going to give you three reasons why I'm dealing with this ugly crime stuff, casework stuff, violence, and so forth. Here's the three reasons why I'm doing this. Number one, the crime and the violence is here and now. I just mentioned a number of cases. They're just but a few of the thousands. I mean, what about the guy in Canada? Gets on a bus, sits down quietly. As the bus continues to go down the road, he pulls out this massive knife, begins to stab people. The bus is finally stopped. The doors are shut. He's cutting off the head of another man, and then he's eating the people. In Canada, on a bus. Is that bizarre or what? Now, we can go over cases. I can only tell you, when I went to police academy stuff and taken in by law enforcement to places, hundreds and hundreds of slides of things that make the movies, since you know it's real, the movies, you know, just pale in comparison. Hollywood could blood and guts it. I don't like to watch movies like Saw or all those blood and guts, senseless slaughter movies. They are senseless. Utterly senseless. Really, they really are. But again, there is an element in the world that loves it, including, listen to me, dark spirits. They love the blood and guts. There are rituals that are called satanic revels or demon revels. And it involves the fact that the dark side revels in the human sacrifice or ritual that is done, the shedding of blood and the desecration of the human corpse. So why am I doing it? Number one, crime, violence, and all of this blood and guts. Well, it's here and now. It's here and now. And we can't just sit back and say, we're not going to see it, we're not going to watch it, we're not going to understand. If we just simply dissociate it and pretend it's not there, how's that going to be, how are you going to be a point man for your family? How are you going to do anything for your church? In Texas, a man walked into a Baptist church a few years ago, pulled out a 9mm and began to shoot the people. Churches are vulnerable to this. And the dark side and the chosen ones, they all know this. Crime and violence, it's here right now. And there's a lot of biblical content that tells us what we need to do to stand up. In our lives, in our families, in the midst of our churches, in the midst of our local society. You know, radical evil like this will push you out of the game, out of the engagement, based on fear, based on I don't want to deal with it, based on I don't want to hear about it. I can imagine there are some not wanting to hear this. But then again, when it comes to skeptics, when it comes to those who close their ears and close their eyes, they can do nothing to help others. The second reason, number two, the reason, Matthew 24, the words of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're listening to me, understand Jesus Christ is Lord, He is King, He is God, He's the compassionate one, He dies on the cross, He rises from the dead. It deals with His coming to conquer sin, violence, crime, evil. It involves His second coming. What He did there at the cross is inseparable from the second coming as the Prince of Peace, when all of this will end. There will be no more crime and violence, no 30-year-old man standing in the woods observing a family, going in, slaughtering two women and a boy, so he can have a 13-year-old girl for himself. We can say, what an idiot. Well, really, radical evil, as in Matthew 24, as in Jesus describing the prophetic revelation of Jesus Christ, is it will increase. It will get worse. The closer to the end of days, the closer to the end of the end, the worse it will get. Two factors Jesus brings up in Matthew 24. One, that it will be unprecedented, cataclysmic violence in the world. Well, the increase of evil, obviously, the decrease of love, the love of most will grow cold. Some believers will, not being strong enough, allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to kind of hem them in and close them off and make them shrink instead of becoming spiritually powerful and huge and strong and able. And that's what the world's going to do to a lot of people. Lock down everything. Jesus' second factor in Matthew 24 was simply saying, in the very end, if his return did not occur when it does, if he didn't cut the day short, it is possible that the presence of radical evil will lead to the total annihilation of the human race. That is huge, my friends. That is massive. Coming from the one that loves us, dying on a cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, conquering sin, conquering death, conquering Satan, conquering hell, conquering the separation between us and God. Did you know you can come to know God, that Christ can come into your life, that new life can be given, eternal life can be given, that empowerment for living, that his presence? Do you know Christ? Doesn't matter if you say you're a Baptist or a Catholic or a Presbyterian. You could say you're a New Ager, you're a Gnostic, you're a Wiccan. Do you know the living presence of God? This is the factor that breaks all of the elements that contribute to what we're talking about, the violence, the end of the world. So, number one, the fact that crime, violence, and all this blood and guts is here. Number two, Jesus himself, let alone rest of Scripture, gives the clear prediction off the charts, off the scale, off the wall level of crime, violence, evil, terror, bloodshed. And then we have number three. Here's the third reason. The global plot. As political and military and New Age and 2012 globalists, I mean those that are seeking it, those that are plotting for it, those that want it, those that are believing in this incredible masquerade, they're dazzled, they're bedazzled by a presence. It's what we all want, a day in which there's no evil, no rape, no hunger, no war. Christ himself, the infinite God, is bringing that. He's the one bringing that, but here we go. A counterfeit is offered prior to the real. And you either grab the counterfeit, get betrayed like Judas himself, and lose it all. Or even right now you could know the power and the presence of this thing called salvation that comes from the living Christ. There's no one like him. He's alive right now. He's dwelling in me. I've talked to him all day today. He loves you. And we've asked him to reach out his hand to wherever you're at. And whenever you listen, that God would save, that God would heal, that God would deliver, that God would even show extraordinary miracle. In the name, powerful name, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. The third part of this reason why we're doing all this week is the global issue. Whenever I mention the red horse and the pale horse, most biblically oriented believers understand that I'm talking about Revelation chapter 6 and 2 of the four horses. And we, you know what we do? We remember the horses pretty well, pretty quick. The white, the red, the black, the pale. But we must remember that they are prophetic pictures. In other words, this is prophetic drama. This prophetic drama that causes us to remember this helps us. It does. It aids us in our remembering. But the idea of prophetic pictures is simply, you know, the red horse, the pale horse. It is a prophetic picture that brings about God's communication. So it's simply just God's communication in pictorial form. But when you look at the red and the pale horse between the two, in the future, on a global scale, we're talking with the red horse, maybe hundreds of millions die. By the time we get to the pale horse, 2 billion or more will be dead in less than a, well, I would say with less than a 4-year period. So let me tell you something. We're dealing with two specific issues. And it deals with the motivation. The motivation of globalists in the UN. The motivation of globalists and George Soros and many of the others in the economic world, in the political world in Europe. It has everything to do with the real. When I say real Luciferian, I'm talking about the ones that really know who they're engaging. I mean, they believe that, you know, they're engaged in with a spiritual presence and power. They've come to believe the lie. They're going to continue to, you know, well, a lot of them will, but maybe you're listening right now, as happens on a weekly scale. And I'm glad that you're reconning and glad that you are listening, because it gives God and me the opportunity to tell you again, even your demons know and shake at the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the wittings, those that know what they're doing, and then the unwittings that have embraced the mask. They haven't actually embraced the actual, but the mask of the actual, the New Age movement specifically. So there's the reasons why. Number one, the crime and violence is already here. Number two, it's going to increase as never before in human history. Jesus said it, I believe, without question. And I think it's pretty evident. But the truth is, we haven't seen anything yet in comparison to what's to come. And the third issue simply is that global issue. Now, the motivation issues. Stop for a moment. If you are a psychiatrist, psychologist, if you are a federal profiler, I've got books on profiling here. You know, it's kind of interesting because I'll go through one of those in kind of a spiritual analysis, a biblical grid. It really does then set me back to look at how I've been looking at some of the cases and some of the work that we do. Profile Judas. There he is among Jesus for 3 years, all those years. There he is, and he's doing all the stuff. It is amazing to me that he can be there seeing it all, looking at Jesus, seeing the integrity, seeing the miracles, and yet live there with his heart sealed off. He never believed in Christ and lived in greed. So if you were just, again, in a secular sense, profiling Judas, what are the motivating factors? In the profiling, would you ever say, well, you know what? We understand that Satan entered into him and there was a supernatural guidance of the already evil platform that was there in his life that led him to betray the Son of God for money. I mean, look at the drug lords. What's the motivation behind drug lords? Money. Old mafia, money, power, placement. What's the motivation of someone killing a blonde-haired teenage girl in Aruba? Sex? What about the kidnapping? What about Sahara? What about these in Mount Vernon, Ohio? What about the cases we're involved with where we know that it involved sheer ritual motivation? Now, before we get to that, let me ask this. Do a profile of Hitler. What's the motivating factors? You know, I've got a couple hundred books on the issue, but over the years and all these things and seeing. But again, every time I watch any new footage or old footage of Hitler, you see, I look and I sense that there is another power there, a presence. And that every ounce of Nazi ideology was from dark spiritual inception. Now I can go over John Wayne Gacy and Dahmer and Bundy. And how about the Ripper crew? How about that priest in Toledo, Ohio? You know, where the nun is stabbed over 60 times and left in ritualistic, she's placed. Very much like the murders here locally. And so we're going to go over some of the ritualistic sub-personalities, why they do what they do. Demonized sub-personalities or demonized individual. Richard Ramirez, there was clearly a demonic guidance of his life to do what he did, both in the sexual and in the slaughtering of human beings, the bloodletting. That means that this man, young man, somewhere along his life, he opened the door. I mean, he opened wide the door to evil and eventually opened the door to the demonic power, the demons that were in his life. John Wayne Gacy was a multiple. Dahmer was a multiple. In a lot of these cases now, as we're going backwards, and I'm very grateful for a book that was put out by Thomas McGowan, and it's called, it just simply, Programmed to Kill. I do urge you, I'm simply going to say only because in that book, he's the first one that I've really seen come out to examine the issue of multiplicity in serial murderers. It may be that many of the serial murderers are murdering and slaughtering because they have sub-personalities that need bloodletting, that are offering a human being up in ritualistic fashion to draw demonic powers to receive into their lives more powers. Thus, the motivating factor of ritual human sacrifice. 2012, a little over a year away, 2011 is going to kick off big. Everybody's going to write about it more and more. More documentaries are going to come out. More and more is going to be said about it. Webbot's going to research it. And, you know, all the psychics and, you know, all those guided by non-human enhancement, they're going to be talking about the 2012 issue. Is it the coming cataclysm and a new age? Isn't it funny that the World of Warcraft gaming that millions of people will be doing has the exact same theme that Albert Pike writes about in his Dogmas and Moral Mason, or that Alice Bailey, the cultist back in the 30s, writes about, guided by a demonic entity? So we have demonic ideology, demonic doctrine, now weaved into a modern day very intense visual gaming project called the World of Warcraft. Motivation. Can I ask you something as you're listening right now? What's your motivation for even listening? You know what I'd like for you to do? Write me an email sometime. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. I wonder sometimes again, you know why I think so many are listening? Because everybody knows what they feel in the air, what they see, we're all going to work, we're all doing our stuff, but we're looking over our shoulder. Now, I got an email right here, right now. Here's what it says. Hi, Russ. Really do love your message. I haven't listened to the podcast regarding Skyline, but I am tonight. I was going to go see it, but the first review I read really made it sound like I should just wait until it comes out on DVD. Is it worth seeing? Let me say to Jan, it's not worth seeing. And I only because I saw the previews and looked into it and knew that I was going to do a broadcast where, as far as I know, over 1,000 folks have already downloaded and listened with a gospel message involved. So I did it as like reading a book. I did it as a research thing, prayed, you know, to take a look. So I'm saying I don't think any movie should be looked at on a entertainment basis. Anybody going to any movies should always have that. I did this a few weeks ago for everybody, presuppositional analysis, analyzing what it is the script writer and the producer, what do they believe? What does Ron Howard believe spiritually in putting out the Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons? The script writer, Dan Brown, the book author. So in taking a look, they're going to promote it as what they believe. And so learning how to analyze, and I think that's part of our growing in the Lord, knowing the Word of God, discerning, understanding the world, fallen world system and all of its precepts and teachings and books and literatures and materials and philosophies and psychologies and anthropologies and sociologies and, you know, all of its materialism and all of its existentialism and nihilism and all of its hedonism and all of it is interlaced with one side or the other. Truth or radical evil masqueraded at times as truth. So I would have to just simply say that listen to the broadcast. You don't have to see the movie. But as you listen to the broadcast. Well, I want you to sometime write to me and give me a little note about your motivations for listening. I love you. You got to understand that. You got to understand who I am just as a human being. All I am is just, I'm just a man, but I love God. I know God's real. I've walked with him now for over 35 years. Jesus is the greatest friend. He is God. He is King. There's none like him. I can't tell you enough about him. He is awesome. He is the one that saves and heals and delivers and restores, picks us up, gives us wisdom. In the book of Hebrews, it says he's the author and perfecter of our faith. Believers, he's the one that can lift your head, strengthen you. So you got to go to him. In all of this, you got to go to him. There is really a spiritual singularity, but it's infinite. It's God in all of that revelation in the visible person of Christ. It's why we read about him being the icon of God, the very visible representation, exact visible representation of the invisible God. If you're listening and you're a seeker, if you're listening and you're a looker, if you're listening and you're searching for, if you want to see God, go to the Gospel of John. Go to the Gospel of Mark and begin to read there first. If you don't know God and you say, you know what, I don't want to have anything else, you know, I just go to the Gospel of Mark and say, God, help me to see you. Look at Jesus. Look at him. Look at who he is, you know, how he was proclaimed hundreds of years in advance. That's, no one else is like that in detail. And then look at him, what he does, what he says, how he unveils the reality of radical evil. I'm going to tell you right now, on a secular side, there is no anthropologist, no sociologist, no hedonist, no humanist, no atheist, no agnostic. There simply is no psychologist, psychiatrist. There is no doctor. There's no scientist, even those at CERN, even Miku Kaku, that can compare, that can tell you about radical evil, that can tell you and bring you reality. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, Greek word, aletheia, dealing with, I am reality. I am the truth in the purest sense. That's what he says. Now, if you reject that, what do you have? What do you have? Do you have relationship with God? Or are you the kind of person that wants God to submit to you? That you want to put God in a box? that you want to jam him into the super collider and bring him through the Atlas and cut off part of his finger and be able to put him under a microscope and say, hey, we've pulled God's hand down here, and we've literally we're dissecting God. You know, that leads me to belly laughing on the floor, because again, if that's what a scientist thinks they're going to be able to do, they have no concept of the infinite, unapproachable, immortal of God and his substance. Yet God has made himself known. He is knowable to anyone listening. And the great word of faith, you know what the doorway is? Jesus said it, and the scriptures teach it. It was proclaimed in advance to be this, that whosoever, Russians, listen to me now, those in Sweden downloading, listen. Come on, those in Liverpool, listen. Down in Pretoria, please listen for a moment. Those in Mumbai, those of the United Arab Emirates, and those of you on the island of Hawaii, and those of you in Manila. Even the radio talk show host, even the remote viewer. Listen. This is not about me being right and you being wrong. This is about we're all wrong. God is right. I'm just a human being, a sinner forgiven, that has by sheer grace been washed and cleansed and been given the gift of eternal life, and the living God dwells within. Christ is alive. So I guess that in the context of the motivation, when I deal with all the blood and guts of radical evil and its development, its growing, and the what's coming, well, I don't have to go drink some Jack Daniels. I don't have to go to the corner bar like they show on television when officers are so tired and disgusted of all the crime and blood and guts they see. So they got to go, you know, get their drinks there and take a bottle of whiskey home and put a gun to their head. Because there is the God of irrevocable hope. A God that can place inside of us a hope that we sometimes can't wait for, sometimes weep for, the day of glorification and the Prince of Peace. His coming into the world is part of the motivating factor of the rise of radical evil. Did you know that? That the actual second coming that ends all the radical evil and brings the real new age of God, no war, no rape, no crime, none of that, but peace, justice, righteousness, the love that comes from God. That's coming, and it is the analyzing of the dark side that sees that. It motivates them. How do I know? Revelation 12. The Spirit of God says that the enemy knows his time is short. That he's enraged. And so that goes, you know, to the rest of the world. There's wave after wave. It's all going to hell in a handbasket, as they say. So the motivations that we're seeing around now, let me go over three other things now. Motivational issues. You know, why is there evil in the heart of man? Why did that guy down there in Mount Vernon go to that family, kill the mother, kill the friend, kill the 10-year-old boy? How could he do it? Well, how did he do it? How can this 30-year-old do that just so he can grab a hold of a 13-year-old girl? And for, was that love? Tying her up? Her hands bound, her mouth gagged? Is that love? Was he going to make her a slave? What's wrong with him? Number one, listen to me now. This is not about New Age gobbledygook of positive or negative energies. This is not about psychological, you know... Somebody said he was a nerd when he was 12 years old, therefore he became that evil. The core issue? You ever read Genesis 3 and 4? You ever read where Cain kills Abel? First human slaughter. You go all the way to the book of 1 John where it talks about do not be like Cain who slew his brother. Greek word refers to probably some kind of bloody mess. Obviously, God says his blood cries out from the ground. first slaughter of another human right there in the beginning. But did you know that God went to Cain ahead of time? Did you know that God went to him ahead of time and said, hey, sin is crouching at the door? Here's the concept in the Hebrew, that this new living code within the heart of fallen man is operative. It drives humanity to go further and further and further and further. It's like a virus. It's in the genes, in the DNA now. It's in our being. You can read Romans 8 to see the theology of that. It's a presence within. It's a code within. It's an operating force. It's a sin nature that produces the sins. And the level of that, well, Jesus said, out of the heart, out of the cardia, out of the center of our being comes the murders and adulteries and all this. It comes out of our heart. How did our heart get like that? We spit in the face of God, and we slammed his word to the ground, and we believed the Shining One. And an exchange instantly occurred. The Spirit of God left, our hearts went dark, our minds and our consciousness and everything else was darkened, and a sin nature came inside. And God says to Cain, it's crouching, it's operative within you. It's wanting to lead him to anger, to bitterness, to rage, to murder, to lead him all the way. How would Cain know to kill? It's never happened in history. He didn't see it on TV. He didn't see it in the World of Warcraft. He didn't watch the Three Stooges when he was a kid. An operative presence. If you're lost and you don't have the living Christ, because Christ coming in takes care of that issue. Breaks the sin code, let alone forgives, and gives you a new nature. Study out Romans chapter 8. You're going to see this clearly. Why is there radical evil in the world? Well, because the sin issue. It is actually an operative presence in all of humanity. Abnormal. It's not supposed to be there. Inseparably connected to the death code, the wages of sin or death, they're absolutely connected. Sin generates death. That's what it's all about. In whatever direction you go with sin, it'll ultimately lead to some kind of death, in relationships, death, in death, ultimate death, eternal death. It's possible that some of you listening can die in your sins, reject Christ, and let me say clearly, burn forever. Lost forever. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God spoke that through the prophet Ezekiel. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That came from the lips of God on the cross as he died for you. So the number one motivating factor is sin in the heart of man. Psychology can't handle it. Laws can kind of reform and hold things down. Because what happens on a local scale can happen, you know, in the Nazi regime, and millions die as they shovel bodies into ovens built for them. Or Pol Pot, or Stalin, or Saddam, or any of the stuff going on. And all happens is man's blaming man, and Satan laughs. See, number two in the motivational factor is Satan is a murderer. If you don't believe Satan exists, I think you got to be pretty ignorant. I really do. It's one thing for someone out there to say, well, I don't believe God exists, or I'm not sure God exists, you know, whatever else. Well, I, you know, Romans 1 tells you clearly God has made himself known, leaves humanity without excuse. I don't believe there's any genuine atheist out there. I just believe there's people that are mad at God that do what they can to say what they can to exclude God. But the imprint of God's existence leaves him without excuse. But Satan is a murderer. Obviously, Jesus says and reveals this factor. He's the father of lies, but he's a murderer, a slaughterer. He instigates this. He instigates this in the profiling of Judas. He goes out to betray Jesus unto death, unto murder. I mean, Satan operates in people. I mean, you know, in crime, to the feds, to law enforcement, please understand that the motivational, I mean, bottom line, you got to take people like this guy in Mount Vernon, get him out of here. He was already in prison, was on his probationary status. I wonder how they're going to, you know, find out if he's been watched over or not. When I look at the picture of him, look at his eyes. A lot of, out of thousands and thousands and thousands of those who have been through satanic ritual abuse, through the programming, they have subpersonalities. You know that in a lot of these cases where there's been this kind of killing and slaughtering, it is the subpersonality that has been operative with energized demonically. And murder and slaughter and blood, well, it's in their demonized genes. The motivating factor could be just simply sin, but it's also Satan. And three, it's also conquest. In rituals, like the one with the two girls that we're dealing with right now, you know why they were killed? You know why they were taken and slaughtered sexually, physically, stabbed, bloodletting, and then eventually killed in all that pain and torture? To draw the demons. To bring all the demons to kind of just literally swim in all of that human agony and terror and fear and energy and blood, so that when you finally kill the human being, see, the demons don't stay with the dead. The demons then would be absorbed into the subpersonality. They would call it purifying their blood. Isn't that right? Very possible that the guy that killed the two girls is even listening right now, or at least the subpersonality that did it. For the Christians out there, become as powerful as you can. Become as spiritually powerful as you can. Saved by the power of God, power in prayer, power in the Word of God, power in the clothing of the Spirit of God. Let me leave you with Acts 9:22. You can grow more and more powerful. Don't stay where you're at. Get sick of where, if you've been staying where you've at for the last 10 years, that's sickening. That's just deplorable. You know what? Do some house cleaning. Take out the garbage in your life. Let God fill your life. Become as knowledgeable. And stand up and get involved in the mission of God and the redemptive works. Listen, we have the music coming on. We're at the end of the hour. Let me say this. God bless you. If you're not saved, come to Christ. If you know the Lord, grow. This is Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net. Remember us in prayer. Yes, we need it. Remember us in support. Good night.